now amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Please be seated. This morning, children, we welcome the little children who are with us for our day of recollection before confirmation, and you older children who have already become soldiers of Christ, now you be careful to say a good prayer for them today, so the Holy Ghost may prepare them to receive Him, His sevenfold gift, so they may be truly His worthy soldiers. Today is the octave of our Lord's ascension into heaven, and it is also the feast day of St. Augustine of Canterbury, the Apostle of the English. Going, therefore, teach ye all nations, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, children, we again sing the Mass, as you sang it so beautifully 1 week ago, the Mass of the Ascension of our Lord into heaven, for the leave-taking or octave day of this holy day. In today's Gospel, our Lord again tells the Apostle and us, going, therefore, teach ye all nations. And so, from the very beginning, Pentecost Sunday, I was telling the little ones about Pentecost and about how afraid the apostles were and how they locked doors. But then after the Holy Ghost came down, everything was different. How brave they were and how truly they were apostles on the birthday of the church. And ever since then, we've not only been concerned about our own souls, our own family, our own parish, or our own country, but we've been concerned about the whole world. And that's why we used to take up those collections, for example, for those the good African missionary father who's now gone to be with our Lord, Father Leslie, to receive the reward of his apostolic labors. And that's why we will always do our best to help out others, to bring the faith to them so many can go to heaven. The story of today's saint is an illustration, a drawing and coloring a picture, if you will, of what our Savior said at the Ascension to the Apostles. One day when St. Gregory the Great was Pope in Rome, back then they used to have slaves, and he saw some children who were about your age or maybe a little bit older, and they were nice-looking children with blonde hair and nice-looking children, but they were pagans, and they were being sold for slaves in Rome. And St. Gregory got talking to the slaves, and he found out that they were Angles, which was one of the tribes that had invaded England. And he said, Angles, one day I will turn you into angels. And he asked what kingdom they came from, and they said, Deira, which sounds like the Latin words, from wrath. And he said, I will deliver you from wrath. And I promise I'll never forget you, children. I will send you a missionary. Well, when he became pope, he would have loved to have gone himself, but he couldn't because he had important pope-type business to do almost all the time. So he selected a holy priest who was the prior or the father in charge of a monastery of monks that he used to belong to in Rome. And his name was Augustine. And he told St. Augustine to gather 40 of his companions that they would be sent as missionaries to England to convert the Angles and the Saxons and the Jutes, who were three Germanic tribes who had invaded that island and who lived there in darkness without the Catholic faith. And he said to them, now, don't worry about a thing. Everything will be just fine. And on your way, there's such and such a bishop. Go to seek him, and he'll give you lodging, and he'll take care of you, and they'll give you some further advice and particulars, because they know England, because they're pretty close to France. And so the apostles, the Saint Augustine and his 40 monks, true apostles, they packed up, and off they went to England. And after they crossed the High Alps, which is always difficult, well, they were in the southern part of France called Provence, and they got talking to the French bishop, just as the Pope told them to. And the French bishop said, what? Where are you going? You're going to Provence? You're going from Provence to England? Believe me, they said, you don't want to go to England. Those English are fierce, fierce people. They're barbarians. They just as soon kill you as look at you. And besides, it's very hard to cross the channel from France into England, and you might get drowned. And even if you do survive, why then, there'd be these ferocious Englishmen waiting for you. If I were you, those bishops said, I would have thought. Well, that put the doubt into St. Augustine. Because after all, it was priests and bishops who were telling him that. And the Holy Father did say to talk to them. And so he, and all the other monks said, we don't want to be eaten alive by ferocious Englishmen. I think we had better ask St. Gregory about coming back. So he was not sure what to do. So St. Augustine went back to see the Holy Father, St. Gregory the Great, and he said, be brave. Don't worry about a thing. I told you everything would be all right. Don't listen to those people. They're just telling stories. They don't know. Everything will be just fine. Now you obey me. Do what you're told. And God will bless you and your work. Well, St. Augustine was a holy saint. So he did what the Pope told him to, even though he still had sort of the picture of ferocious Englishmen eating him alive. Well, they crossed the channel, and it was a very easy crossing. He thought to himself, this didn't take too long, and this was pretty safe. And when they landed, he formed a procession, and St. Gregory had one of the monks carry a cross, and the other carried a picture of our Lord, and they chanted some prayers from the Rogation days on their way to go see the king, and the king Ethelred had agreed to receive them, and he was sitting in a meadow under an oak tree, because he was a kind man but a little superstitious, and he was afraid that the monks might cast a spell on him, because you see he was a pagan, and so he thought that would be the safest place to be, under an oak tree. Well, they got talking, and lo and behold, the king was very nice to them and listened to them. And furthermore, the queen was a Christian. She was a Christian princess from Paris. And there actually was a bishop there already, a bishop of Senlis, who was the queen's confessor and almoner. And so the way had really been prepared, and the king, although he didn't get baptized right away, he did in a short amount of time, and so did most of his people. Children, if they, the monks, had listened to the people who said it can't be done and don't obey what you're being told to do, England would never have been converted. And they would have been cowards as well as disobedient folk. Do you see the difference? Do you see how important it is to be able to obey and to be brave? What helps us to do that? The gifts of the Holy Ghost. In particular, consider today the wonderful gift of counsel. Counsel is a heavenly guidance for our actions, tells us what should be done. Now, sometimes it's hard to know. For example, very often a priest or a bishop would give you excellent advice and you should follow it. But every now and again, it might be something better not to. How are we to know the difference? The Holy Ghost inspires us by prayer to know the right thing. If we are careful not to make a decision right away, if we are careful to offer up penance and to pray, if we are careful to seek the advice of others, then our Lord will inspire us. That's one of his seven gifts, the gift of counsel. What am I to do? So we ask Our Lady, the mother of good counsel, especially for this gift, so we know whom to listen to and whom not to. And then, as with almost all of the seven gifts, children, it's always a matter, when you get down to it, of fortitude. And so, yesterday when we spoke of knowledge, remember how Bede the Venerable had to have fortitude to sit down to his work, whether he felt like it or not, day after day to read, study, write, teach, and pray. And he did. And he did so many wonderful things for the world, as well as for the whole church. Today, St. Augustine and his monks, they had to have fortitude too. Not to listen to those who said it was dangerous, to obey the Pope, and to go and do God's holy will. And God rewarded them for it by making it as easy as pie. You know, children, that will happen sometimes. Sometimes you may think to yourself, I can't do this. This would be just too difficult. This will hurt too much. Besides, it's too hard. And I don't know how to. And I don't want to. That's the end of the story, isn't it? But then if we say, I'll do it because God wants me to. Obedience. All of a sudden, I discover, like St. Augustine and his monks, it wasn't so hard after all. It worked out really very well. Well, what a surprise.
That's God's grace, children. When we do our part, fortitude, and we know what to be done, the gift of counsel, our Lord takes care of everything else. He frequently arranges things. But how many there are, children, who never do it? They insist on just doing their own will, and they're sort of train wrecks in life, just over on the side of the road someplace that no one's quite ever cleaned up yet. Let's not be like that. Let's go ahead and be like a train to its destination. Follow the track, holy obedience, God the Holy Ghost, and do what we're supposed to do. And our Lord, He promises He will take care of the rest if we do our part, and we do our part by prayer. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.